We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? Welcome in. Episode 112, Hogan Johns. Second.
What are you reading? You're reading something.
No.
We've started.
I'm reading my rundown is what I'm reading.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't know what I'm doing without it. Which actually is not true. Most times I don't even
Everything you say on here is read, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive.
Yeah, especially right after the games.
Yes.
I write that much.
On loose leaf paper.
Yeah, loose leaf paper. Good old loose leaf. This is episode 112. Hogan Johns, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And you can like literally read the podcast now.
Yeah. How cool is that?
In the paper.
Excited about that step. Your mug is in the paper.
That, I got to say, that felt good.
It's cool, right?
Yeah. That, now I know what it's like to be Adam Johns.
I know. It's cool.
I feel
it's
like a brand new person today. No, that was awesome. So if you don't know what we're talking about, we are going to be doing a weekly feature in the Sun-Times every Wednesday, right?
Every Wednesday.
Is the plan.
Now, some weeks Thursday night games, they may screw things up, but
we'll have to adjust just like we do with the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's good. Podcast in print, we're calling it.
Yeah. I like it. It's basically like our podcast. We go back and forth on whatever big topic there is, which is the quarterbacks.
No. It's going to be like that next week.
Pretty much.
And the week after that.
Pretty much.
All the way up until Adam gets his guy in the game. Number 10.
Why is he my guy?
I don't know.
I think he's everyone's guy. It's Ryan Pace's guy.
Ryan Pace's definite guy.
Yeah, man. Who wants to get tackled?
You can search Hogan Johns on iTunes, tune in, WGN Radio app. Please rate and review the podcast if you haven't already. We appreciate you doing that. So, look, we're making moves here on the pod. We're in the paper now, and we told you about our voicemail line, which I have to say went way better than I thought.
How many calls?
It was a total experiment, and I was just, I don't know what's going to happen. Put the number out a few times during and after the game on Twitter. We got a lot of voicemails.
After that game?
Yeah. I went back and I listened to some of them on Monday. They're pretty good.
Joe, how many times did you have to hit the bleep button?
None, actually.
Oh, come on. For real, people?
Yeah, I'm serious. Our listeners are very well-spoken.
They were almost too well-spoken. Like, it almost ruins the bit. So, no, it was pretty good, though. A couple guys called back a few times, which was great.
Just wait for a Packer down game.
Yeah. This was good. That's our producer, Joe Romano, who is taking ownership of the voicemails. It's his thing. We want it to be that way. He's going to take your voicemails every week. The best ones are going to make our Wednesday podcast. And this is what Joe put together here after the Bears' loss to the Falcons in week one.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Bill Schwartzky at his north side of Chicago there. Just calling to give you my little pregame prediction for the Falcons. First of all, score. Looking at Glennon's first performance, going for about 85-7. Definitely defense is going to hold them to the 7 points, but hey, you got to give them something at the end of the game when we got B-string in there. But yeah, go Bears. Bears down, looking forward to a good season. Love the show. Again, we're going to swamp them.
Mike from Maryland, just warning you, I'm going to be a regular. Hoping for about 3 or 4 more of these games. Close competitive losses. Glennon's the problem. Put the kid in.
Stephanie calling from Champaign, and finally feeling like I'm getting past the chest pains that that game gave me. The fact that we came so close and just couldn't get it in, I mean, is that not the Bears all over? It's bringing back a little flashback from the past 2 seasons, I guess. On the other hand, Mike Glennon looked really good in the last 4 minutes of that game. Akeem Hicks is a monster. Tariq Cohen looked great. But at the same time, I mean, I literally cried. So, I don't know. Lots of emotions to process, and I'm really looking forward to when you guys break down this game.
Quinn down in Houston, kind of drinking the Kool-Aid right now. Offense showed enough towards the end of the second half there to, you know, make me think maybe they can move the ball a little bit going forward. Kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. Am I crazy for thinking we got a good shot against Tampa Bay? And then, I don't know, kind of optimistic, looking forward. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
John from Seattle. I had 2 takeaways on this game. First of all, Trevathan looked like a monster. I'm glad that he's able to play at full speed after this pretty short recovery window. Second, why the hell weren't we hitting our tight ends? We had so many good receiving tight ends, but we had all these dink and dunk passes over to Howard and Tariq. I don't know, seems like really bad offensive coordination there. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Jacob from California. Kevin White needs to be cut now.
Hey now, Chauncey, Columbus, Ohio, BearFan80 on Twitter. What a game. Roller coaster of emotions. As a lifelong Bears fan, I'm proud of how they played today, and it's been a while since we've all said that. Glennon came to play the second half. Bears were competitive. That's all we can say. Looking forward to next week. Bobby Massey with a massive whiff of a block to end the game for the Bears. Bear down.
Chris from Barrington calling about that blown coverage, and all I got to say is Bears gonna Bears.
Brock Sutton from Niceville, Florida. Just want to say something about the Bears, about to get the ball to start the second half. Chicken salad, the human joystick, the chocolate badger, whatever you want to call him. They said he wasn't big enough to play in this game. I've counted at least 4 monstrous hits on him, and he pops up like the joystick. You're not going to keep him down. Bam.
Nathan from Northbrook. You see, this is why I reached on Tariq Cohen between the 11th and 13th round in all 5 fantasy football drafts that I took part in this year. Everybody was like, Tariq who? He's only been drafted in 2% of leagues. Why would you take him instead of someone like Tevin Coleman or Eddie Lacy? Eddie Lacy who? Who's a reach now? Who's a reach now? Tariq Cohen, MVP. Thank you.
Jake from Kentucky. In the middle of the game, there was kind of a long pass to Tariq Cohen in the end zone. Really, Glennon's first and seemingly only long pass of the game. It was batted down, and it looked almost as if he kind of threw it a little short. And I was just wondering, do you all think Mitch steps in, throws that same pass? Can he put it that extra step in front that Glennon didn't? And is that a touchdown with Mitch that it wasn't with Glennon? Thank you all. Bye.
Noel from Los Angeles, California. Mitch Trubisky's got to come in. He's got to play. I thought that from the preseason. You got a good O-line. You got a good running game. You got a good defense. Why not put the kid in and see what's going on? Thank you. Have a great day.
Vince downtown. Raymond Harris looks good 23 years later. The Ultra Bat, number 29. God bless.
That was awesome. Nice job, Joe. Nice job.
Well, oh, nice job to the nice job to the callers. That was all them.
5 fantasy drafts.
That was awesome.
And of course, thank you to Ernie Skatton who voiced it and helped me with some of the audio here.
Absolutely. I didn't even know.
Great work.
I didn't even know Ernie was
great
involved.
Work.
So that's why we wanted Joe on board here, because all that editing.
Well done.
All that editing takes so much time, and I've not had time to do that during football season the last few years. So that's all Joe Romano there, and you, the callers. I'm telling you, I didn't know what to expect. The calls were great.
Yeah.
We like the funny ones. We like the serious ones, the thoughtful ones. And yeah, 312-222-5050 is that number, 312-222-5050. Thankfully, it's pretty easy to remember. And we'll throw that number out on Twitter, too, during games to kind of remind you. But if you want to contribute to our voicemail feedback line, you can do that this Sunday when we're in Tampa. And once again, we'll bring back the best voicemails next week.
And I was impressed by how many, you know, from all over the place, you know, L.A., Seattle, Nebraska. I mean, they called from everywhere. It was really cool.
And one of our four female listeners.
Yeah.
Stephanie. And she might have had the most coherent thoughts as anyone.
Absolutely. I listened to her. I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, wow, we do have female listeners.
So thanks, Stephanie. And that first one almost sounded like a bit.
Yeah.
Bill Swirsky, was it?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the super fans from... Yeah,
You'll get those.
From SNL?
Yeah, the real thick Chicago accent going.
Yeah.
It's all good fun. You'll get those.
But we're encouraging that. I like that. All right. The other thing we need to review from Sunday, our picks.
Do we have to?
Well, we were both right, I think. We both predicted close game. We both had the Bears covering but losing.
Oh, that pick, yeah. I was confident about that pick.
Oh, all the other ones, yeah. I don't know if we want to... Joe, what do we have predicted on Sunday in terms of the Bears scores?
The scores, you had 20-16 Atlanta, and Adam had 24-20 Atlanta.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
I had 23-17. Was that?
Yeah.
How close was that?
Sure you did. You had the Falcons covering.
No,
you
I had
a blowout, I believe.
I'll bring back the audio. I had 23-17, I swear.
Yeah? Okay. Yep.
Winner.
A chicken dinner.
Still waiting for the audio.
Yep. We got all day?
No.
All right. And what about our bold predictions, which we rarely ever get right?
You got it right.
I did, right, Joe?
Yes, indeed. Adam Hoge had over 100 yards of offense for Tariq Cohen, which was well over. And Adam Johns had two interceptions by the Bears, one by the rookie, Eddie Jackson.
Not even close.
Probably not.
Marcus Cooper had a shot at the ball.
He should. You know what? Those are back-to-back plays. Kyle Fuller could have had that one. I'm not going to say he should have had because it bounced kind of funny.
Oh, that was one of those wacky bouncy.
Yeah, he could have had one. Marcus Cooper should have had a pick six.
Yeah.
He even said that after the game.
Yes. Yeah. So, but that's, I mean, it's the all-world receiver he's covering. I thought Marcus Cooper had a pretty good game.
I'm not predicting the Bears to get any takeaways until they get some. That's my new rule this year, because I don't know how many times we've made that the bold prediction, and it's never true.
Takeaways? Well, it was bold because Matt Ryan doesn't throw a lot of interceptions to begin with. What did he have, 7 last year? He's going to throw 2 against the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
That was brash, maybe not bold. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our news of the week, and unfortunately, it seems like it's the same kind of news we had every one of these Wednesdays last year. Kevin White... IR,
mm-hmm.
Jarrell Freeman, an even bigger loss, IR. Don't know if either one of them is going to come back this year. Theoretically, they could, but White, a scapula?
Broken shoulder blade.
Right, which that you don't hear that a whole lot.
No.
Collarbone, yes, which is what we kind of thought it was after the game, but scapula, I mean, close enough. But
did you watch... the all 22 film of the play he got hurt on?
I haven't seen the all 22 yet. Did they finally put the all 22 up?
The all 22 is up. And again, I don't want to come off as overly critical of Mike Glennon. There's pressure on that play. But Kevin White is open for a long period of time on that pass.
Yeah.
A long period of time.
And then didn't he get awkwardly tackled by like 2 or 3 guys?
Tack McKinley nailed him from behind. I think Kevin White, a lot of it, like he fought for like a couple yards on like a long third down play where he wasn't even close. I get it, but he needs to go down in certain situations. But I came away looking at that play. I'm like, wow, Kevin White's open. Kevin White's still open. Now here comes the ball. And here comes the rest of the Falcons defenders.
Yeah.
I don't mean to pile on the Mike Glennon pylon train here.
The pylon train.
The pylon train
here. Choo-choo!
Again, I thought he was fine in the opener, but he was open for a long period of time, especially by NFL seconds.
I mean, we talked about Kevin after the game on Sunday. We kind of knew at that time that it was, you know, serious.
It's a bummer, man.
But you got to feel for him. It's it sucks. But, you know, unfortunately, some guys' careers are just defined by injuries, whether it's their fault or not. And it's just the reality of the NFL. You know, it's like, I still can't believe these guys actually play football for a living. Like, I was talking to somebody at House Hall about this today. If you're playing in the NFL, it's just you know in your head that at some point the big injury is going to come.
Right.
Maybe you go 10 years somehow, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you tear your ACL for the first time or whatever, and then you're never the same player. Something like that. Or for some guys, you come in first year, you keep breaking bones. It's
the love of the game.
But you know it's coming. Yeah. I just can't. Yeah.
It's such the physical element was what makes it so loving. That's why people love it. It's in our nature, I think, for some people. And look, I got it. I've dealt with injuries when I played high school ball. But do you think we've seen the last of Kevin White? Some people think his Bears career is done. I don't side with that.
Would it be? He's still under contract for a year, making first round money.
Exactly. So I don't get why third year in a row, just cut him loose. I don't think the Bears are going to go back and everything they've said about this kid for the past couple of years. He still has another year in his contract. Now, you won't pick up his fifth year option. I get that.
No chance.
It's like $14 million. So, but you still have another year to play this out.
Yeah, I don't. You're paying him anyway.
Might as well.
At a minimum, he should be on your 90-man offseason roster.
Obviously, wide receiver is going to be an offseason priority. Free agency.
Maybe there's a scenario where next training camp he doesn't earn a spot on the team, depending on what the rest of the depth chart looks like.
Right.
I could see that playing.
Yes.
But I don't know why you just cut him loose now.
No. And look, it's not a leg injury. It's a shoulder blade. It's not anything that's going to really restrict him athletically in the long run. So,
yeah.
Darrell Freeman's a bigger loss.
Yeah, let's talk about Freeman. So this is... what a weird way for this injury news to come out. We're told concussion. First of all, they didn't tell us anything. Wasn't reported during the game. John Fox didn't mention it after the game. They tell us in the locker room after he did not speak to the media. They told us later that he's in the concussion protocol. Then we find out Monday, John Fox's press conference on Monday after the game, he's got a pec injury. Pec injuries, usually not good. Usually that means torn pectoral. He did not tell us that on Monday, but that's what it ended up being. He confirmed that today, and he's going to need surgery. Didn't really say whether or not he'll be able to come back this year off of IR.
Torn pectoral muscle.
That's usually season-ending injury. And I actually, if you follow @ProFootballDoc on Twitter, who's a former physician for the Chargers, I interacted with him a little bit today, and he said, assuming it's the pec tendon, which means surgery, so that must be it. I mean, that's usually what it means when it's surgery. He could return, but late season or playoffs at best. Playoffs?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Big loss.
At least you have depth at that position. I like Nick Kwiatkowski.
I thought Nick Kwiatkowski should have been given a better chance, an opportunity to start.
Well, I think he did, but Trevathan came back, and I don't have any problem with playing. Freeman was great on Sunday, by the way.
I thought as the game went on that he looked stiff in some place. Even like if you
Terrell?
Look. Yeah. If you look at the bad 88-yarder blown coverage to Austin Hooper, right? He looks.
I think there's always been a little stiffness in his game. I think that's why he went over. He was overlooked.
Yeah, but still, not to the point where, like, ooh, something wrong with him. Now, I thought maybe it was the concussion. Clearly, now there's a pectoral muscle that's torn. So,
Fox hinted that the concussion may have had something to do with the blown coverage.
Exactly. But when did he tear his pectoral muscle? Not in the last series. Doesn't seem to make sense. Who knows?
If he really played the entire fourth quarter with a concussion, that's worrisome.
Well, sometimes the symptoms show up late.
Yeah, but I would say if he really had something to do with that blown coverage by not getting things communicated, that seems like a symptom.
Probably. But these guys have played football their entire lives.
Yeah.
You know, just because you have your bell rung. I get they have all these protocols, but you still need the player to.
I'm not saying that's the case. I don't know what. John Fox is the one that brought that up. Yeah. Not me.
Oh, it doesn't look good. Doesn't sound good. I'm just saying the player needs to be honest with himself.
I'm putting it on the player. You know, you can only go so far. They have concussion spotters now. I've talked to those people in the past. It's not an easy job. They're doing their best, but they're looking at it from upstairs with binoculars, looking at the replay monitors, trying to spot things. It's not always obvious. I didn't see any problem with Darrelle Freeman during the game. There are some plays where you go, oh, that guy should be checked out. I see it when I'm on the sidelines with Northwestern. You know, but if a player's not honest and he's not showing any obvious symptoms, it's going to go undiagnosed. But if it's true that, and Freeman's probably the only one that knows this, that perhaps the communication breakdown on the blown coverage, the 88-yard touchdown to Austin Hooper, a huge play in that game, had something to do with him dealing with concussion symptoms and trying to play through it, that lost them the game, okay? And we're talking about a backup in Nick Kwiatkowski that we both like, that you just said deserve a better shot at starting. He's going to get that, and I do think he's good enough to be a starter in the NFL at this point. He could have been the one on the field. Maybe that play doesn't happen. Maybe you don't lose that game. The players need to be honest.
Yeah, but these players have... I'm going to side with the player on this just in terms of, look, you're going to get your bell rung. You're going to feel dazed in certain moments. I get this new
this
era.
This is coming
of,
from the guy that on Sunday admitted, like, I had a few concussions.
Yeah.
You know, I had Kevin Powell, our afternoon anchor on the Rokan show, was listening to the podcast, and he texted me the other day, and he called you the Kevin White of the Hogan Johns podcast.
I had a lot of injuries in high school.
And he loved that you were just like casually like, and I had a couple concussions.
I remember, look, high school football is so different than the pros, but I think some of the mentality is the same. Broke my leg returning a kickoff freshman year. Broke my collarbone on an option keeper my sophomore year. There was no way I was coming off the field my junior and senior years. You know, concussions were viewed differently then. You get your bell rung, you miss a practice, something like that. You know, sometimes you just don't even leave the field. But I can understand where these players are. Oh, you know, I'm going to shake it off. I feel fine. I'm not knocked out. I'm not wobbly.
But if you're talking about your own health that you're willing to put in jeopardy because of that, then fine. That's your decision. But if you cost your team a victory...
I don't think he thought he was going to cost his team a victory.
Of course he didn't think that.
It's third and... a third and 10 play? You got them backed up inside their own 20?
Well, I still think the coaches should have been calling timeout there.
I mean, yeah, of course. The adrenaline's running high. Mm-hmm. You know, and that will carry you through so many different situations. But either way, moving forward, significant loss. I thought he was going to – look, last year I thought he was good. I thought his four-game suspension was going to be a motivator this season. He wanted to redeem himself. Spiritual leader, motivational leader for that defense. Big loss.
At some point, though, you look at the age and – I don't know about you, but I came into this season going, it is highly, 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 highly doubtful that Darrelle Freeman and Danny Trevathan both play 16 games, which is why Nick Kwiatkowski's there. Mm-hmm. It's why they drafted him last year, even though they signed both of those guys. That all happened in the same offseason. So at least this is a position of depth. But now what's the depth beyond that? You know, that's
well, now you're down to Christian Jones, Jonathan Anderson. And, John, all I do is make plays in practice, Timu.
Right, but those are three guys that have been around for a while now.
Right.
That have not been able to earn starting jobs. They've been able to stay on this team as solid backups.
Yeah, well, that's what you get. When you get to your depth, your second, your third tier guys, you're looking at your special team guys already.
Yeah. You know? But you don't want to get there is my point. And I still think it's highly doubtful. You just look at the math of the NFL. Is Trevathan going to play 16 games? Is Kwiatkowski going to be able to play 16 games? He had a concussion in the preseason, didn't he?
He did.
So, at least you have more depth there, though, than wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going to... So,
well, you see, you want to talk about that a little bit? Do we have time?
Yeah, yeah. I talked to Tanner Gentry today, who's... We'll play some of that in a second. It's short, but he got called up.
See, I feel like the Bears, they planned for this. They signed Marcus Wheaton. They signed Kendall Wright. They brought Victor Cruz in for a little runaround. They signed Tanner Gentry as an undrafted free agent. They started... I don't think they envisioned this catastrophic of injuries. They envisioned maybe something going wrong.
With Kevin, I would say.
With Kevin.
I think they were banking on Cam Meredith being their number one wide receiver
right.
for the whole year.
I mean, no team, every team tries to improve their depth, but when you lose your first two receivers within 2 weeks of each other, that's catastrophic to your depth.
Yeah, it's
and your number
terrible.
Three receiver
hasn't been able to do anything.
Because of an emergency appendectomy and a broken finger like in a second practice in Bourbonnais.
Mm-hmm.
So you sign guys to deepen the position, but injuries are injuries.
Yeah, it's but this is a bad situation for the Bears at wide receiver.
But okay, can we with all due respect to Kevin White, I thought he was going to be better this year than some people thought, but the idea, okay, now we lost him, but we weren't expecting much of him. Which is it? Is he not going to be a productive receiver, but now he's a loss, so he was possibly a productive receiver? Which is it?
Well, that's a fair point. I mean, I set the over-under on catches for him at 2.5 for Sunday. Came under.
Yeah. Dropped one, too. But look, I thought the potential was still there for a decent season, so I still see him as a loss, but now that, I don't know, I don't get the complete panic over the receiver situation by people who weren't giving Kevin White an ounce of credit or faith to be something.
Yeah, well, it's just that, it's more so you just look at this and you go, well, maybe Kevin could have developed in it. Maybe he could have salvaged some of that first-round talent. With these other guys, you know what Kendall Bright is now at this point. You know what Marcus Wheaton is. You certainly know Deontay Thompson and Josh Bellamy.
I think we know Deontay Thompson and Josh Bellamy. I think Kendall Wright, why did they not get him the ball more in that game?
It's a fair point. I don't know.
Deion Sims, you brought him in to be a pass catcher.
Deion Sims was good on Sunday. They didn't give it.
First catch was the last play of the third quarter.
Yeah.
There's still options there.
He's not regarded as a pass-catching tight end, but I was saying this the moment they signed him. He can be.
Tell that to the safety he trucked.
Yeah, I think he's better than he gets credit for as a receiving tight end. And I think you saw that as the game went on. All right. Meanwhile, as we look ahead to this week, injuries. Kyle Long, Prince Amukamara, Marcus Wheaton, can they come back? So all three practiced today. The extent as of this moment as we're recording, we can tell you that because when this podcast comes out, we will have the injury report. As of right now, we don't have it. But I'm guessing all three of those guys are going to be at least limited. But a positive development that Prince Amukamara was back out on the practice field today. I think there's a chance Kyle could come back. Interesting timing considering this is where he hurt his ankle last year in Tampa.
I'd give him as much time as possible. Tom Compton was fine.
I thought Compton was fine on Sunday. Yeah, I don't think he was a problem. I had a positive grade on him. Amukamara? Here's a question. If Amukamara can come back,
mm-hmm.
Kyle Fuller played pretty decent.
Kyle Fuller missed two huge tackles in that game.
Yeah. The tight end. He also made a couple nice tackles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you think he covered okay?
I thought he covered okay. I thought in general the secondary minus a handful of plays.
Is Kyle better than Bryce Callahan and Craven LeBlanc?
Well, here's the thing. We've never seen Kyle Fuller practice one snap at nickelback.
And they've told us over and over again. Vic has told us over and over again. Doesn't want to put him there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not giving up on this.
No.
I thought when he came out of college that was where he should be.
Phil Emery thought the same.
But he didn't put him there either, but that was different because he was first.
That was different.
Yeah.
Defensive.
They don't think that's where he should be. But when I look at how you get the best 11 defensive players on the field at the same time, if Prince is back and healthy, I would consider doing that. But it doesn't seem like that's what they're going to do.
Bryce Callahan had a tough game.
Yeah.
I thought he did.
And
the thing is,
it was significant that he was playing over Craven after missing most of the preseason.
Exactly. So Craven, he actually struggled towards the end of the preseason,
yeah.
I thought. So maybe, I would definitely give it a look.
Why not try it?
Yeah.
This is his last shot with you. Why not try it?
Yeah. That's what I don't get. Like, I know I'm being critical of his tackling, but if there's anything that I took away from his first couple seasons is that he's a very willing tackler.
He made a couple nice run stops early in the game.
He could come downfield in a hurry and really pop you. Give it a shot, especially if he's playing in less space.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But that's something I'm thinking about as Prince could. I don't know if these guys are going to play this week. It's still early, but they need Marcus Wheaton. But I don't. If your finger's that banged up, though, I don't know how. Didn't John Fox say Monday that he was practicing with like huge club on his hand last week?
Yeah.
Kind of hard to play wide receiver with that.
You think?
I've seen defensive backs do it. I saw Kyle Cairo, Northwestern safety, make a one-handed interception last year with his other hand in the club, which was awesome. But you can't go out and play wide receiver.
No. You need your hands.
Yeah. So. Should we talk about Gentry real quick?
Yeah, do it. Play the audio.
So Gentry activated to the 53-man roster. Whether or not he's active Sunday, I think, is a different story. But, you know, here's what I want to know from him. As, you know, if he plays, and they might need him to play wide receiver at this point, he didn't play with Mike Glennon, like, at all in the preseason or in practice.
I think there might have been like an occasional one-on-one drill.
Yeah. Well, so I asked him today how important these practices are this week to quickly build some kind of chemistry with Mike Glennon.
Yeah, very important. Just like you said, I haven't taken too many reps with him. Most of them have came from Mark and Mitch, but at the end of the day, it's throwing the ball and catching it. So it'll be good this week to hopefully get some reps with him and continue to just work.
Is that overrated? I mean, that idea that, okay, you haven't really worked with a guy, mm-hmm. so you just kind of got to go out there and play?
I think it's pretty critical for the quarterback to kind of know how you run your routes, where you're going to be, and for the receiver to kind of know where the ball is going to be and all that stuff. Yeah, I think that's very important, and it does come from repetition and practice.
As you watched the offense the other day from the sideline, where do you feel like your skill set can help going forward now that you're active?
I feel like I can make plays and make catches, and just going forward, I'm just going to do whatever the coaches tell me to do, and when my name's called, I'll be ready to make plays.
And last thing, we've obviously talked a lot with you about special teams because mm-hmm. how critical it is to get on the field. Where are you now compared to where you were when training camp started back in July?
Definitely a lot better. In training camp, that was kind of my first time playing any special teams. Didn't cover kicks in college at all, not in high school, so it was the first time doing it. But I learned a lot, and I think I'm a lot better now. And I think it was a good experience for me.
So there is Tanner Gentry, which special teams probably, wherever he is, wherever the coaches think he is, probably going to determine whether or not he's active.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah, you need your fourth and fifth receivers, your Josh Bellamy's of the world, to be active on special teams. And as we saw in the preseason, that's a work in progress for him. But in camp, this guy was their best go-up-and-get-it threat.
Yeah.
The entire duration of Bourbonnais did it a bit with the one catch against the Titans. He is willing to sell out his body to make these big catches, tracks the ball exceptionally well. Deep throws, but if he does play, is Mike Glennon going to go down the field to him?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's not really, we saw last week they threw one ball downfield to Tariq Cohen. It should have been a touchdown, and I thought that ball was slightly underthrown, enough that it allowed the linebacker to recover and get his hand in there.
Without even looking. Mitch Trubisky, actually, let's answer the question. We had a question about that.
Yeah, from voicemails.
Look, I don't know if Mitch Trubisky can make that throw because I want to see more from Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with Trubisky. Glennon can make that throw.
Yes.
Glennon's arm strength isn't the problem.
No.
It's the accuracy.
Yes. I just go back to Bourbonnais where he kept airmailing his deep balls. and making these receivers turn left, turn right, looking for it, even though Kevin White would have a couple steps on Prince and Mukamara, put that in the money, you got a touchdown. And Dal Loggins bemoaning the fact that Mike Glennon did not connect on enough deep balls in training camp. So I thought it was an okay throw. It's a small receiver, so it's got to be perfect. Tariq Cohen plays big, but he's still small in a situation like that. That linebacker is significantly bigger than him. Completely blocked him out from making that catch. So that ball has to be perfect if you're going to throw it and make that type of completion.
It just needs to be a better throw. And not that it was terrible. It just, if you watch the replay, Cohen had the linebacker completely beat. But the throw, he had to slow up just a little bit at the end, and that allowed the linebacker to recover and just barely get his hand in there, and it broke up the play. So, all right, well, that's our news of the week, and we'll move on to previewing this game in Tampa. But first,
what does the Fox say?
In my experience, is sugar goes a lot further than vinegar.
What the Fox say?
Actually, you can use vinegar for a lot of things.
I use vinegar more than sugar.
Yeah. Cleaning? Does it ruin your wood floors?
Barbecue sauce?
Mm-hmm. Sugar is quite bad for you, John.
Yeah.
Diabetes? Can happen.
Yeah, I think, well done, it'd be well said.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is another one. I had a couple options today. He was talking about Brian Urlacher.
What was kind of unusual about Brian was he kind of played like a monster man in New Mexico.
I like that.
That's got to be a football term, right?
Monster man.
Rawr.
I know what he's saying. He was kind of like that.
Well, he went on to talk about how he was a DB and had to turn into a middle linebacker.
Yeah, there's defenses that have that hybrid guy. They got different names for it. I know what he's saying, but I like that. Monster man.
Monster man. Monster man.
So can I go behind the curtain a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When there's a press conference, do you guys look at each other when you hear Fox say something and like, oh, that's it. That's the one.
We look at each other and other reporters when there's kind of inappropriate comments made that are appropriate for the moment. Did that make sense?
For what does the Fox say? Sure.
Yes. But all interviews, the Josh Sitton, the Eddie Jackson one, we'll look at each other.
Yeah. Like when this happened.
Josh, who's the best meat smoker of your offensive line?
What do you mean by meat smoker?
You can literally hear Pat Finley react. Yeah, it didn't need to be a look.
Yeah, yes.
He laughed.
So behind the curtain, yes, they're we're like children sometimes in the media room.
Yeah.
Got to have fun. We're just having fun.
You got to have fun doing your job, whatever you do.
Yes.
Make the most of what it is.
Yes.
Sometimes it's work.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I think we have very fun jobs that we try not to complain about. But
yes,
really, whatever you're doing, I've had much worse jobs. You try to make the most out of anything.
It's football. You can't take it too seriously, especially when it's like a Wednesday and there's innuendo.
And no one wants to talk to you in the locker room. Yeah. All right. So Bears go to Tampa. Bucks are a 7-point favorite.
That surprise you?
Same as last week with the Falcons.
Yeah.
It does surprise me a little bit. I think the Falcons are a better team. Of course, this is at home, so that's going to get the Bucks some points. The noon game Sunday on Fox again. It's interesting because they didn't play last week, and that's a. But let's start there first of all. Just happy this game's getting played. And not only is this one getting played, another game we're going to talk about when we get to our college picks. Illinois, Mike Glenn is not the only one making his Tampa comeback this week. Lovie Smith is taking the Illini down to USF, which they also play at Raymond
James.
Nice
reunion weekend.
Yeah, they also play at Raymond James Stadium.
Band back together.
So I had my eyes on that game because that one's on Friday night. If they're playing that one, then you knew the Bears game was going to get played too. And fortunately, Tampa dodged a bullet. When we were recording our podcast Sunday, they were still forecasting the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed pretty much doubtful that the Bears were going to play in Tampa. Now, they've had power outages, some water, but really it seems like the power outages and the wind damage was the worst. And but they're supposedly getting it back. And I mean, obviously enough to play the game. So that's a very good sign.
Irma's kind of sailed west, didn't give them a direct hit as right. some people projected. It's good.
How about just like, not to get off track, like just the weather in the world right
you
now.
You mean hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. There's another hurricane
but
coming, isn't it?
Let's also not forget about the flooding we had right here this summer.
Yeah.
It didn't really affect Chicago, but I live in Lake County, and there was many residents in here. Like we record here in Vernon Hills, just north in Libertyville. I drove through there like 5 days after the flooding happened, and you know when you see like some of the pictures from Harvey down in Houston, all these people that just have piles and piles of crap sitting out on their front yard because it got ruined. That's what Libertyville looked like.
Yeah.
Not to that extent, obviously. Harvey was I'm not trying to, you know, say that.
No, but there was serious flooding
but
around
that,
here.
I drove through the neighborhood, and there was just, and it was so eye-opening to see all that. And we have a personal connection to this because my family has a boat on the Channel Lakes, which connected to the Fox River. And that's where a lot of this huge flooding came because all the water drifted down from Wisconsin and just swallowed the Channel Lakes. And a lot of businesses were affected up there, and basically had to shut down for 3 weeks in the heart of summer,
mm-hmm.
like tourist season. It was basically what it is, and we're talking restaurants. But you know, I where we keep our boat, Five Star Boat Center in Fox Lake. Like I personally have been thanking the guy Patrick and Joaquin there that take care of the place because the water had literally engulfed their entire marina. And despite it being completely underwater, they're managing hundreds of boats that are tied up to their docks, right? Which the docks are underwater. So as the water rises, those lines get tight and they can snap. And all of a sudden you have boats drifting away
yeah.
and running into each other. And they were out there in dangerous conditions, retying, untying, retying, making sure it stayed so that
nobody drifted away.
Nobody got. No, there was no boat damage to any of these boats. And so, first of all, I just want to give those guys a shout out. Tremendous people at Five Star Boat Center. I don't know how many of our listeners own boats, but if you do and you're looking for a place to store it or winterize it, trust me, these guys are the one you want taking care of that investment because, I mean, I could say personally, they do it. And they even offer free. So even if you don't store your boat, you can like, you just need it winterized cause you store it on your own. They can pick it up and drop it back off for free. And it's really that simple. So if you're looking to, for any of those kinds of services, or if you want to sell or buy a boat, they'll take care of you. So give them a call at 847-587-2400 or check them out at fivestarboatcenter.com. Ask for Patrick or Joaquin and do them a show them how to listen to the podcast because I tried to show it to them and they can't figure it out.
No,
they're like, what's a podcast?
The internet,
yeah,
still mystifies some people.
A lot of people. Well, we're happy our listeners have figured it
before,
out.
Before I've dealt with water damage. Yeah. I once had 8 inches of water in my basement on one of these.
I remember that
thunderstorms that come through Chicago.
Yeah.
It's miserable. And that was just only 8 inches for me. Some people that I know, like, in God, I can't even imagine what they're dealing with in Florida and Texas and certain flooding situations, but it's a miserable experience. It sits in your basement. It causes mold. You have to destroy your walls. You have to take everything out. You lose a lot of your property because it's drenched and it's not clean water. The people that get sewage in their basements, it's just, it's miserable. It's miserable. But hey, happy to be going to Tampa.
Yeah, well, we're happy that Tampa dodged a bullet because it sounded like it was going to be a lot worse. And certainly not as important, but relevant to this podcast and all of our listeners and what we do, the game's going to get played. So Bears-Bucks, Tampa 7-point favorite. Very interesting type of game here because you have one team that has not played a right. game and the Bears have. I think there's advantages and disadvantages to that. But one of my two big questions for this game is just kind of how the Buccaneers
play.
Yeah.
Very distracted.
I get that question too.
I mean, they're fairly distracted after everything that happened, and the advantages they have is that they have tape on the Bears.
There'll be some emotions for them involved too.
You think so?
Now, some of those emotions were ripped away when their home opener was canceled, and I know it was for good reason. I support the decision. Football is not more important than your own well-being, your family's well-being, and whatnot. But there is some human qualities to this. You're looking forward to it. You're preparing for it. It's the week one opener for you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't exist anymore. So you got that. So you got to kind of rebuild those emotions again. So it'll be interesting to see if they have them for a week two game, especially with the Bears already having their opener. The tape thing is a factor for sure. And there's the high expectations for them this year. I mean, that's a general question I have about them is how do they start meeting these high expectations in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? That's what I'm talking about. Jameis Winston, great receivers. A lot of good, young, fast defenders, some pretty good cornerbacks. There's high hopes for them in Tampa right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch Hard Knocks, they're talking about how this team is really going to take off this year.
Yeah,
and
certainly,
I mean, just watching that show, they have a lot of star power.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dirk Cutter is as good of a coach as, you know, they're saying, then this should be a team that takes a big step forward this season. But I don't know that they're any better than Atlanta. And
no.
The Bears should have just beaten the Falcons.
I think Jameis Winston's a good quarterback. Top 10? I don't know if he's there yet.
I don't know. See, he'll throw you the football.
Yes, yes.
And
he's not Matt Ryan in terms of ball security.
Now, I'm still going to follow my rule, and I'm not going to make a bold prediction the Bears are going to have two interceptions or anything like that. But
yeah, that's a new rule for you.
But well, until they do it.
Okay.
Until they do it. Until they prove they can do it. This is a guy you should have at least one interception off of.
Mm-hmm.
He threw one of the, if you watch Hard Knocks, one of the preseason games, he threw.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about.
He
was like on his back, literally backpedaling, and just lobbed the ball straight up in the air. And Dirk Cutter lost his mind, which he should have. It's great TV.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff.
He's going to give you some opportunities.
And a little Jay Cutler in there where you're just going, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Some guys are just prone to that.
But he's good, and he's a tremendous leader on that team. I almost feel conflicted with Jameis because I'm still, you know, not thrilled about what went down at Florida State and never will be. But you watch him on Hard Knocks, and it was like, I understand why his teammates love him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this dude is a natural-born leader. Jameis Winston, the football player, I'm impressed by the football player.
I'm not overly impressed. I think Marcus Mariota's been better.
Well, good, because that's what I predicted when they came out. Okay. I had Mariota ranked first, Winston second.
You just wanted me to say that to
I didn't
pat
pay
you on the back?
I didn't pay you to do that.
Well, Mariota
but I'm glad. I'm glad someone said it, though.
I think it's pretty clear, but
yeah. All right. What other question do you have in this game?
Mike Glennon, revenge game?
Mm-hmm.
We talked at length about Glennon, and we wrote at length about Glennon. Obviously, a lot of emotions for him going into this game, no matter what he says.
He admitted it today. He said, it's just human nature to look forward to this one a little bit more than the others, even though they all count the same. I appreciated him, because it's so funny when guys try to say, it's just
another game.
Because it's not another
no.
game.
This is the team that gave you a chance as a starter. Then they brought in Josh McCown.
Yeah, did they give you a chance?
Not really.
Not really.
So, yes, he could prove them wrong, but we'll see. We'll see. I wonder if they'll take off the training wheels on Mike Glennon and let him air it out a bit more. To who? I don't know.
But the question is, can he? There's a reason why the training wheels are on.
Yeah, but that's how John Fox wants to play games. I imagine the potential is there for him to do it a bit more, but John Fox wants to play things tight. I get people criticize Dow Loggins for his calls, but Dow Loggins comes up with a game plan under a premise of how John Fox wants to play.
Yeah.
He wants things kept tight. He doesn't want his quarterback making risky throws. He wants to limit his quarterback's pitch count.
of course things are going to be underneath and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm actually defending Mike Glennon. Can you believe it?
No, I mean, because he was really good in the fourth quarter when he knew the Falcons knew they were throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that is your kind of your definition or example of airing it out a little bit more. We'll see. You want to be playing with a lead. That's something we rarely ever see with the Bears these days.
Dow Loggins called Mike Glennon a rhythm thrower.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about getting him in a rhythm in the first quarter?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why wait to the fourth when you need him to win you the game?
Yeah. All right.
Bold predictions.
Is this a bold prediction? Is this bold enough? I think Nick Kwiatkowski leads the team in tackles.
Oh, come on. You could do better than that. Of course he should.
Okay, he forced a fumble, too.
You predicted. Did they recover?
No, they don't recover. Are you kidding me? It's the Bears. Okay. He forces a fumble.
Okay, fair enough. Here's my bold prediction. I don't know why this is bold, but everybody forgets that Jordan Howard was a Pro Bowl running back last year.
Yeah.
Tariq Cohen, I guess we'll do that to you. Don't speak to the media. We're going to ignore the fact that you were pretty darn good last year, Jordan. I think Jordan Howard bounces back and rushes for over 100. And 125 sounds like a fair number. So 125, a touchdown. And here's where it gets bold. Four catches. Maybe 40 yards. No drops.
Yeah.
There you go.
That just... Oh! There was a great voicemail that didn't make the cut, I just remembered.
Okay.
This is why I shouldn't listen to the voicemails. Because someone mentioned the LASIK surgery.
Yeah. It's PRK, people.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was a funny voicemail.
I wrote that story.
I know. That's why I wanted it to get played.
The guy thought it would help his pass catching.
Okay.
He said it.
Well?
Dow Loggins said it.
Well, you would think it would, yeah.
It was a classic case of him taking his eye off the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
how about Mike Glennon?
If your eyes are closed or not focused on what you're trying to catch, the surgery is not going to do anything.
How about Mike Glennon throws the pass earlier when he's actually wide open? Let him go into the end zone.
I can sort of, and I kind of mentioned it too. Yes, the pass could have been a little better, but you got to catch the ball.
Of course you do. But even if he catches the ball, he's short. We're on the next week here.
I think he gets in because he kind of, the bobble allowed the, it's not like that guy was right on him.
Well, I think he wasn't right on him to begin with. He should have gotten the ball earlier.
If he catches it clean, he gets in the end zone. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
But I know he's a loaded takedown. So there's my bold prediction. Jordan Howard shows you again why he's the number one back. 125 yards rushing, a touchdown, four catches, 40 yards.
Jeez.
Give or take.
You got all that, Joe? That was very specific.
Yeah, that's a long list. I was thinking it was bold just with the yardage and the touchdown. Then you went into the receiving end, dude.
Am I right in saying, though, Joe, Adam, why are people all of a sudden writing him off?
Well, I don't think people are writing him off. I just think he's not getting the attention that maybe he should be getting. Now,
he's still your starting running back.
The shoulder injury doesn't worry you?
No.
Okay.
Still finished the game. Still was out there to drop a ball.
So did Jarrell Freeman.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not an IR yet.
Who, Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Predictions.
All right, what do you got here?
I'm picking the Bears.
To win. Okay.
Outright win. I don't know what my final score is going to be, though.
I'm going to do exactly what I did last week. I like them to cover that touchdown, just like I liked them last week. I'm the same thing with the takeaways. I can't pick them until they prove it. Until they prove that they can make those plays in the fourth quarter to actually win a game. Prove it. Until that, I'm going to take the more talented team. I'm going to pick the Bucs. 23-17.
Look at that.
I think it's going to be a similar game, so why not just have the same exact score?
I'm going to say 27-20.
So defense, Bears. 27-20.
Yeah. They're going to put up some points.
Who's scoring all these points?
The Bears.
Jordan Howard.
Fantasy pick.
Yeah. injury report is in as we record.
What do we got?
Live. Might as well hit the button. All right. Pretty much what we expected here. A couple guys did not practice at all. Benny Cunningham, high ankle sprain. He weren't expecting him to practice. Adrian Amos got a personal day. So he was not at practice today. Limited in practice. Prince Amukamara, Deion Bush, Christian Jones, Kyle Long, Marcus Wheaton.
No Jordan Howard.
No Jordan Howard.
Tampa's got one guy. Devontae Bond, linebacker, knee.
Bond. Devontae Bond. Maybe he's related. All right. 27-20. You got
27-20.
All right. You got that. Joe, what are you thinking for the Bears?
Don't think this one goes as well. I think the Buccaneers win 28-13. Jameis Winston just throws all over that pass defense. Mike Evans, Deshaun Jackson, O.J. Howard. There's just too much to stop for them on that side of the ball.
See, I think they fluster Winston. I think they'll have a fine season, the Bucs. I just think with all the hurricane stuff, a lot of, I don't want to call it distractions, but a lot of stuff going on in their lives.
Yeah.
It's all going to kind of catch up to them in kind of a perfect storm. Look at that.
Does Mike Glennon have his first interception or turnover?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was really close to fumbling a ball against the Falcons. Forward progress stopped it.
Oh, and the sack.
Yeah. I think
the blitz.
I think it's only a matter of time before he gets sacked and the ball pops.
He almost threw one interception. I think Kevin White kind of slipped on his route. Cornerback was there. It's only near interception.
So you think he does throw an interception?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, take turnover for Glennon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I'd say there's one, too. So, all right. Let's move on to our picks of the week. And Joe, let you list off these games that we're picking.
Last week, Adam Hogue, you went 4-5 and did not hit your lock of the week. Adam Johns, 4-5 as well, but did hit your lock. And I went 5-4 and hit my lock. How do you like that?
Ooh.
What's up?
Again, Joe, I reminded Adam of this every week. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
I can't believe I went 4-5 because in the...
I thought it felt worse.
In the pigskin pick-up, I went 1-4.
I went 0-3 in the college games. Woof.
Yeah, and my Stanford lock, I was feeling really good about that. That did not
go. I was really confident about my Oklahoma pick. Everybody's been...
You picked Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I almost made Ohio State my lock.
Yeah, I Yuck. Did. And
well,
I,
now yeah. we know they're overrated.
Yeah. That oh, that they always chant?
Yeah.
It's overrated. I'm fine with that. All right, what do we got this week?
All right, first game in the NFL. We got the Vikings traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Sunday, noon on Fox. The Steelers are giving 6 points.
Both teams 1-0.
Sam Bradford looked pretty good week one.
Both teams looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. It was weird. Was the Steelers seem like it was a close game against the Browns, but you still felt pretty good about them when it was over. At least I did.
Yeah, you can have those close games that are numerically close in the scoreboard, yeah. but just aren't.
Mm-hmm.
6 points is a lot.
It is. I'm still not completely convinced on the Vikings, though.
I think Bears beating them twice this year,
and I think the Steelers are legit. So I'm gonna take Pittsburgh here.
I'm going Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm going Minnesota as well. I love Dalvin Cook in the backfield and the defense. You know, I'm not sure they have an answer for Antonio Brown, but I think they covered and maybe even went outright.
Ooh, little upset special there, maybe. All right, so we disagree on the first game. Moving out now. I think it's time to play this for the first time.
This is Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
What's up with that?
What's up, Jay?
What is that?
I don't know.
What's up, Jay?
That's going to be our Jay Cutler alert for the podcast.
What's up, Jay?
So we got Jay Cutler's debut at the L.A. Chargers in Los Angeles, 3:05 Sunday on CBS. The Chargers are favored by 4.5 points.
Lock me up some Jay Cutler.
Oh, I was going to do the same.
Lock me up. Look, they've been dealing with a lot, too. I don't know if that has something to do with the spread, but I'm not buying the Chargers.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know. I like the – they're getting 4.5 points. Give me the Dolphins.
Lock it us up. Lock us up. Hit the button.
I guess that
I'm with you.
Is my job here.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Double lock?
Double lock.
Yeah.
It's too late. I'm not changing my mind.
I am not as confident in his debut. I think he struggles a little bit, and maybe Phillip Rivers talks a little trash, gets in his head again. I'm going to take the Chargers on this one.
I would love to see that again.
That's right. They don't like each other.
Yeah, that's some old history, when Cutler was with the Broncos.
As I was looking for a Jay Cutler thing, I came across that video with he was asked by Chris Rose on like that old Fox show, why don't you like...
This is Chubby Cutler, too, right?
Like, yeah,
this
is when he's with the weird hair. This was still when he was still in Denver.
The weird hair.
His hair has improved drastically.
Yeah.
Well, now it's perfect.
It's because of his missus, clearly.
Yeah, she's done well with him. All right, so we're both picking the Dolphins. Joe's going Chargers. And let's move on.
Next, we got the Cowboys getting 2 points at Mile High Stadium against the Broncos Sunday on Fox, 3:25 kickoff.
Wait, who's getting 2 points?
Cowboys.
Yeah, there's a...
The Broncos are plus... Broncos are getting points.
Yeah.
My bad.
That?
My bad.
Yeah, Cowboys are the team that's favorite here on the road in Denver.
Give me the Broncos at home with the points. I thought Trevor Siemian was pretty good in his opener.
Yeah, but you know, I thought the Giants were going to put up more of a fight against the Cowboys.
I think the Giants might stink big time this year.
They might.
Like, really, really bad. I'm a loss for words. How Brandon Marshall had like one catch.
That doesn't surprise
me. In like the final seconds of that game.
Yeah.
I think they're in trouble. I don't think they're that good of a team. So anyway, coming back to this game, I'm not impressed by the Cowboys' week one win over the Giants. I like the Broncos and Trevor Siemian, Northwestern zone, getting the 2 points at home.
I mean, Dallas held the Giants to 3 points. It's Trevor Siemian.
With all due respect to the, they were abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you're talking me into it. I don't want to go against a home dog. I'll take the Broncos.
Make that three. I'll take the Broncos, too.
We're definitely wrong now.
Yeah, now we're definitely going to screw this up. No question about it. All right, back to the NFC North.
Sunday Night Football, the Packers visit Atlanta. And that's obviously Sunday night is on NBC. The Falcons are giving 2.5 points.
I like the Packers. You know why? The Bears left plays out on the field against the Falcons. And Aaron Rodgers against a Falcons defense, which is really not that good. They're average.
Okay.
You're okay. They're not fast. Okay, they're fast. That's the only compliment I'll
Aaron Rodgers can make plays against that defense that Mike Glennon didn't.
Yes, and those plays are going to be there again. I know you're going to play Aaron Rodgers a bit differently. They're going to play Mike Glennon. Mm-hmm. But again, this is Aaron Rodgers. I thought he was... Look, the Seahawks, great defense, was able to beat them, got the mismatch he wanted with Jordy Nelson for that big touchdown. Give me Aaron Rodgers in this game.
Also, as you know, as much as we talked up the Bears defense, I wonder if a storyline in Atlanta right now is Steve Sarkisian
finding his way.
Offense sort of being out of sync in that first game. And how much of that really was just all the Bears defense? I don't know. I like what the Packers did against Seattle in week one, an impressive win. And I'm going to go with you. It didn't look pretty in Atlanta, the NFC Championship game for the Packers, but new season. I like Green Bay here in this one, especially since they're getting 2.5.
Uh-oh. I got the Packers, too.
Packers!
Yep. I like the way their defense played against Seattle. And granted, Atlanta's offense is much better than Seattle's will be. I think they'll get better. But Green Bay's defense, they were flying around the field against the Seahawks. And I see the Packers going into Atlanta and ruining that home opener.
Yeah, brand new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I forgot about that. All right. Moving on. NFC North team visiting the team that John thinks is potentially the worst in the NFL.
Monday Night Football on ESPN. Detroit Lions, New York Giants. Giants given 3.5.
All right, so the Giants are garbage.
Okay. And they're getting 3.5 against a team that beat the Cardinals pretty soundly.
Never count out the Lions. Learned that last year.
Yeah, remember I gave that rant on them in the middle of the
season? Yeah.
I was on them early.
Mm-hmm. So I'm on them now.
Okay.
Early.
You don't trust them late in the year.
No.
Early in the year.
Yeah, you still just, in general, never trust the Lions, but...
That's true.
I think the Giants just, they stink. They're bad.
They smell bad.
Yeah. Give me the Lions, Matthew Stafford. Even if it's a comeback, Lions win.
Lions too. Wow, we're a lot of agreement here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of agreement, and I'm going to go ahead and lock that up with the Lions.
Ooh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
All right, we'll keep it moving. I mentioned this first game earlier in the podcast, Lovie Smith's return.
The Illinois Fightin' Lovies. Friday Night Lights.
I like that.
Against USF, number 22 in the nation. That's on ESPN, 6 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, Willie Taggart went to Oregon, and he left behind a pretty good football team. They're ranked. They're a lot better than either of the two teams Illinois has played so far this season. And wait, what was the line?
They're big favorites.
Joe, what was the line here?
USF is giving 17.5 points.
That's a lot. But give me some USF here.
Yeah.
I don't think Illinois is that good.
No. They're playing a lot of young guys, to my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lovie's still trying to find his way in college football.
We just can't disagree. This is unprecedented.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks of podcasting, I've never agreed this much.
Yeah, it's long history. Yeah, I we're all going with USF here. And why don't you go down early for the game, Johns? I can't. I got a Northwestern on Saturday.
I'm not wasting my time.
You can go cover Illinois on Friday. Be fun.
Pass.
All right, what's next?
We got an early season SEC East matchup with number 23 Tennessee traveling to Gainesville. Take on the number 24 Gators. 2:30 Saturday on CBS.
My philosophy on this pick is just to do the opposite of what you guys are doing. We've been in too much agreement.
Too much agreement? So whatever we do.
Whatever you guys do and say, I'm going to think the opposite and pick the opposite.
Well, first of all, apologize because the games so far the games this week are not that great. College-wise. That's why we're picking Illinois to begin with.
Yeah.
This is a decent SEC game. Really, you're hoping by week three, right, Joe, that you're starting to find out some things about these teams. Well, the problem with Florida is they got beat pretty soundly by Michigan, who then, their offense didn't look that great last week. I guess you would know better, Joe. You're the Michigan guy. You saw every second of that game against Florida, I'm sure. But then Florida's game against Northern Colorado got canceled last week because of the hurricane. So it's kind of tough to really understand what the Gators are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you take away those two pick sixes. I hate to sound like a former Bears head coach, but you take away those two pick sixes, and that is a complete and total rout at the Jerry Dome between the Wolverines and Gators. I don't have a great read on Florida. I think that after 2 weeks of prep and after, licking their wounds a little bit, they keep it close, especially at home. But I don't know, man. They're giving points. I'd take them. I'm going with Tennessee.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Tennessee here, too, just because of 5 points. Florida really never seems to have that great of an offense. So 5 points seems like a lot here. Tennessee struggled against Georgia Tech week one, but still managed to figure out a way to win the game in Atlanta, which was essentially a home game for Georgia Tech. So I'm going to take Tennessee.
You guys done?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking Florida.
Fair enough.
Got to make up, got to separate ourselves somehow here.
Yeah. All right.
All right, final game, number 3 Clemson at number 14 Louisville, Saturday night game, 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPN.
Is this where game day is this week?
Yes, it is.
All right. So the week after a few days after, I declare Baker Mayfield the most exciting player in college football, and I still stand by that. How many touchdowns did Lamar Jackson account for last week? 6?
A lot.
I think it was 6.
Yeah.
Lots of yards, too. He's over 1,000 yards from scrimmage already. You see that stat? Crazy.
He's incredible.
Clemson's got a good defense. I don't know about their offensive situation. I wrote down who their starting quarterback is now, but I forgot it. Give me Louisville.
And they're getting 3 points.
Yes.
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville's gained 3 points. And this, you know, I'm going to go against my rule here that I think I talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. Biggest home game of the year. You don't want to go against them. But, you know, game day's there. There's going to be a lot of hype. But I was impressed with what Clemson did against Auburn, especially defensively.
I think how many sacks did they have in that game? Like 11 or something?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head. But the defense was great.
Yeah.
The defense was great. Louisville, you know, they went on the road to North Carolina, beat a team that I don't think's that good without Mitch Trubisky. They lost to North Carolina, lost to Cal the week before. And Louisville struggled against Purdue week one.
A believer.
I'm taking Clemson.
I like Louisville with the points. They kept it close last year. It went down to the final possession at Clemson.
It was a great game.
I think Lamar Jackson, you know, this is a game that he has circled ever since the schedule came out. I think he, you know, has a Heisman type game, and they probably win outright at home.
Heisman moment. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they do have the best player. There's no question. Lamar Jackson.
I still think Baker Mayfield's more exciting.
Yeah, your guy. Hey, I love what Baker did after that game.
How was that not exciting?
And I did not like that he apologized for it.
No. That's what I like. That's why I think he's more exciting than Lamar Jackson.
Sports needs stuff like that. Why do we got to go out and be like all politically correct? I'm sorry.
I love the extra emotion, the revenge thoughts of he was full of vengeance in his head after what happened at Oklahoma last year when Ohio State sang their fight song, I believe, in the center of the field at Oklahoma. So I was all for that. No problem with that. And that is partly why Baker Mayfield is still the most exciting player in college football.
Okay. Fine. I'm going to give that another week to think about. I'm not agreeing with you yet.
Heisman favorite.
That was an impressive win.
Oh, he was
good. I know Joe loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I did, too.
Yeah, that was great.
All right, we should get out of here. Any predictions on what Vic Fangio has to say tomorrow?
Probably not.
I like that.
That was when he was asked if Pernell McPhee could be the same player he was 2 years ago.
No.
No.
That's my favorite one right there.
The no?
The no.
The no's pretty good. I just love Vic. They spent all week talking about how Pernell is in the best shape of his life.
Played 4 snaps, right? 4?
And then Vic goes up there and goes, yeah, but then they're telling me he's on a snap count.
Like on your hand.
And then
he didn't even reach 5.
he played 4 plays.
Yeah.
4 plays.
I imagine we'll see more from Pernell McPhee against the Bucks, but
sometimes
maybe 8.
Sometimes the stuff they think they can feed us is just, come on. How dumb do they think we are that we're going to believe that?
Nah, sometimes we are pretty dumb.
Sometimes. A lot of times on this podcast, right?
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
All right. You okay over there?
you forget that this chair reclines sometimes.
All right. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, JAHNS, WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. If you're one of our international listeners, you can read our podcast in print on the web.
If you're in the city, pick one up.
Pick up a paper.
It's cool.
Yeah. No, it was cool to see the layout. Yeah. That was nice. So and then search Hogan Johns on Twitter. Find a podcast on TuneIn, iTunes. Please rate and review it. I know we say that all the time, but if you filled out our survey, take what you wrote and just copy and paste it into the iTunes as a review. We appreciate you doing that. It helps spread the word and get the podcast featured on there. So, and again, our voicemail line, 312-222-5050. Hope you enjoyed the first installment.
That was great stuff.
Great job
by
Joe Romano.
I love the interaction.
Yeah, but great job by our callers, first and foremost. Be funny, but have good thoughts, too. We loved it. And so call in during, you call in during, you call in after, you can call in multiple times. We appreciate you doing that. And you have a chance to be featured in next week's edition of our voicemails on the podcast. Yeah, we got to come up with a better name for that.
How about that guy who took three going five times in five fantasy drafts?
He's probably feeling pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's strutting his stuff.
He should be feeling pretty good.
Now you got to sell high.
Sell high? Hey.
Sell high.
Well,
at least one of those leagues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Tariq seems like, that was a significant development last week.
Yeah.
Bears don't have many players like that. True difference makers.
And I think that difference is going to show up every week. I get what people think. The film is going to help the Bucks, and it will. But he'll open up for things for others now.
Yeah. You see, Akeem Hicks called him, said he was 4'9".
Yeah.
And then Tariq said today, well, if I'm 4'9", then Akeem's 5'11". That's a good comeback, I thought. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks to Joel Romano, our producer. Appreciate all listeners bearing with us. Good to be back in the season and having some new features for you guys. Check out the paper, Chicago Sun-Times. You can get the podcast there as well. WGNradio.com. We will be back on Sunday from Tampa. I'm interested to see what it's like down there. But the game will get played. We will be there. And we'll have a podcast after the game, our post-game podcast. Maybe the Bears win. John thinks they're gonna. That should have been your bold prediction.
The win?
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Talk to you guys on Sunday.
How big is the
round? I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick.